Dave, here we are.
Yeah, this is so cool.
Field of Dreams, home of the gladiator.
Sausage party.
What?
Are we not just listing our favorite movies?
No, Croke Park.
Oh.
This is it. This is where it all happens.
I know. I've played here.
What do you mean you played here?
I played here for Dublin, on the hallowed turf of Croke Park.
How?
Because I was called up for a trial, and I was one of the best left half-backs in Dublin, and they called me up and had a trial, and this is where I did my trial day.
What age were you?
11.
Did they pick you for the team?
No. I had a half an hour run out, and then I was sent back to the bus.
There's TJ. How's it going?
Yeah, how are you?
Dave.
Nice to meet you guys.
Our first stop was with tour guide JJ, who showed us the pitch where Dave nearly played for Dublin.
Actually, Dermot noticed something about the pitch.
Yeah. Standing on the side of the pitch, you do notice there's a slight curve in it. It's a slight hump.
It's a really specific measurement. It's like 13 and a half inches from the side to the centre.
Right.
It's actually to offset the vertigo in the upper tiers.
No way.
A lot of people think it's to do with drainage and water flow, and it's actually not at all. So what it was initially when the Cusack was opened, it was a huge issue. Like, to anyone who sat up there, like in the first few years, they go, "Oh Jesus, you can't sit up there, it's horrific."
Right.
It's a good illusion. The size of the field, the lines, the height, everything, it all accumulated and it looked like a bowl. It looked like it dipped towards the middle. It had to be addressed. And so that was the answer to vertigo in the upper tiers.
It is actually shaped at a...
Very specifically, yeah.
Are you going to take us inside of the dressing room?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go. On the way in, we pass through a warm-up room, which each of the dressing rooms has.
Some of the teams have kind of quirkier warm-ups, whether it's punching bags, laying into them, opposition's jerseys pulled over them, or music. The Dublin team tend to have music playing in the dressing rooms, you know, upbeat, motivational stuff to get them psyched up.
There's a net on the roof. What's that about?
Well, hurlers can't be trusted, and there's very few things that will stop a slitter travelling at 180 kilometres an hour, so it's why your mammy always tells you don't play with the football indoors, even in Croke Park. Yeah, no, basically just to protect the lights. Even the sockets in here in this room are behind cast steel, because the hurlers in particular were using them for target practice. So, if it's going to survive in this space, it needs to be Armageddon proof. Even like the clock on the wall is now behind a grill, a grate, you know. So,
Jeez, Dave, that sounds like most of the pubs you drink in the north side.
Yes, I'll only attend an establishment where you need a hurley for protection.
Well, we made it into the dressing room anyway and got the grand tour.
So, is there a home and an away dressing room in Croke Park?
There isn't.
Really? It's
really, genuinely. People from outside Dublin don't believe this, that there isn't preferential treatment for the Dublin team. There isn't. There's dressing room one and two. They're absolutely identical. It's given out alphabetically.
Okay.
But I will just point out that it's done as Gaeilge.
Balia, Clea.
Forget the Balia. Aha Clea. That's what's on the crest. So 9 times out of 10.
Dublin get one.
Dublin tend to be in number one. Okay. Purely alphabetical. I don't know who came up with the system, but I love
it. Yeah, it's pretty smart. I have to admire that in fairness.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lovely dressing room. It has a telly and a fridge and...
Don't forget the tea-making
facility. The tea-maker, yeah. But it's pretty standard. I don't know what I was expecting, but it doesn't necessarily have anything fancy.
It's like we were talking about, because there's no home team's dressing room. Like most stadiums, when you go visit them, the home team's dressing room is what they show you, and it's phenomenal. Like, you know, hydrotherapy suites and, you know, exercise rooms and all these things. But because this is impartial and it's pretty plain across the board, but you might also say then, how much luxury does the team need? Changing areas, showers, mirrors and hairdryers is almost vulgar luxury, you know.
They'll be getting soft.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the actual makeup of your tour, do you tend to get many foreign tours coming in?
It's about a 50-50 mix.
Really?
Yeah, and it's funny, like you said, we just take GAA for granted. It's just, you just grow up kind of with an awareness of it. International people cannot get their head around what the GAA is. The first time you see hurling, you know, people just stand captivated going, oh my God, what is this game? You know, they're killing each other. They don't even believe there's rules. But then when we explain to them, like, these guys, men and women, are training a few nights a week and stuff, and they're not getting paid, they're amateurs. Mm. It just blows people's mind. Yeah, no, it's really nice to actually kind of share that part of Irish culture with people, that these games exist.
But you know, while the teams aren't togging out, there's a lot of work going on here every single day. And up until now, the only experience we've had of groundsmen was this guy.
I've taken all the peanut products! Just like the English took our sheep and our women in 1291, then they sent them back, which was worse!
But the groundsmen here aren't called Willie, are they?
No, they're Enda Colfer and Colm Daly.
So give us some of the technology now. How deep is the actual pitch when you take into account all the different layers?
You're probably looking at 450 millimetres of sand above 100 millimetres of gravel before you get to the pipes. And above that gravel layer as well, we have a network of hot water pipes for undersoil heating. We have fixtures in January and February. Obviously, if that pitch is frozen and a game is cancelled, the repercussions are huge. So all
of this is to make sure, obviously, the pitch stays in great condition, but more importantly, you really don't have to cancel a game simply for weather reasons.
Yeah, I suppose that's the unthinkable. It's essential in the winter, I mean, in this environment, when we're trying to grow grass and trying to germinate new grass, we have to have those temperatures, and without undersoil heating, it's just not possible.
Well, I was going to say, like, in a way, you're treating the grass so well that it's not really Irish grass anymore. Like, where, you know, you need the little bit of freezing weather, and
where are the daisies?
Yeah. We've got some kind of Hawaiian tropical grass growing here.
Is there any one team, one county, that is worse for tearing up the pitch?
Who are the heavy boys?
They're generally all quite good, you know. Obviously, groundsmen everywhere, no matter what sport, face issues, particularly around warm-ups and things, but we'd make contact with every team that comes in here the week of a game, and we'd send them a picture of the pitch and where we'd like them to warm up. So it's a nice system that we can move teams around, so if one area is taking a bit of a beating, we can move them on to somewhere else. And generally, because we give them that bit of notice, they can adapt their warm up to what suits us.
If you see a lad kicking the ground just before he takes a free kick, dampening down the grass in front of the ball, are you like, hey, stop that? That took me 2 weeks.
You're probably saying that in your head, like.
I know.
Here's Maria meeting the man with the strongest handshake in the Northern Hemisphere.
Strongest handshake I've ever.
The voice of Croke Park Stadium announcer Cormac O'Sullivan.
So how did you end up being the announcer at Croke Park?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I think I turned up late for a meeting one morning, and suddenly I was
short straw.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, and I'd been involved in local club here in the Fianna in Glasnevin. I'm the PRO of Cumann Lough Glasgael in the Fianna, which is probably one of the biggest clubs in the country. This had come up, and I said, "Yeah, should we give it a go?" Yeah. So I'm here for the last 5 years. I can sort of relay in an unambiguous and kind of confident manner sort of anything that's kind of going on, because the way it happens here, right, is that, do you see that service hatch there? For those of you watching in black and white, that's not a service hatch, right? That is a communication channel, okay?
Right, okay.
So that door will burst open and someone will say, "Will you tell that so-and-so, driving that red BMW, sort of,
right,
13-2-6-2-6-2. If he doesn't move it, it's going to be burnt." Okay?
Right.
So I have to...
Very politely.
...internalise that.
Yeah.
And through the medium of communication here, I have to say, would the owner of car registration, please return to it immediately, as it's causing an obstruction.
We all laughed, and then he crushed our hands again. And off we went to talk about the other part of Croke Park, the concerts.
And it turns out tour guide JJ is a fan of the cheese, just like me.
Do you come to all the gigs?
I do like to go to the gigs, I have to say, even One Direction, which I don't usually admit publicly, but now it's...
I'd be with you. I'd be right there holding your hand.
Yeah. Stage time. If I can get up on your shoulders and scream, cool.
When the acts come here, do they hang around?
It's been different for the different acts. Like Ed Sheeran was walking up and down the tunnels inside and seemed really, really easy going. Someone like... I don't even know if we're allowed to mention it. An alarm will go off somewhere now, but Garth Brooks was on a very tight schedule.
In and out.
In and out, like, so, like, I think it just depends on their own time.
What do you do at concerts? If you put this much love and care into the grass and then you have to cover it over and 80,000 Egypts like us come traipsing in to look at Bruce Springsteen or something, how do you protect the grass?
They'll let you know how big the stage is going to be. That's kind of key, because for the two concerts we have this year, Coldplay and U2, they're both 38 metre length stages, so they're coming from the hill out 38 metres. So what you're looking at right here now is going to be gone. That's coming up, being dug out.
Oh, right. The actual sod is coming up.
Yeah, so that'll be skimmed off with a corrod, a machine called a corrod, and then there'll be steel track laid and the stage will be built on that. And it's basically because the weight of the stage will just kill anything that's under it.
Do you skim it off 40 mil and then throw that out and start again, or do you keep it and resod it later?
Well, there's massive emphasis here on sustainability and community relations, so we actually send quite a lot of it to local allotments, and local GA clubs might use it for doing goal mounts and things like that. So there's plenty gardens around here that have bits of Croke Park in it. That's
brilliant. I'd say you could sell it. A square foot of Croke Park, I'd say you sell those for a tenner a pop, easily.
You boys should be selling the drainage water out of this as holy water in bottles. Like, I know lads would buy that off you.
So, Dave, that was Croke Park. What do you think?
Oh, I loved it. It was all brilliant. But for me, the best moment was when I got to stand in the spot where Irish history was made.
Where is the famous place that Enda danced at? Is it above our heads there?
You're standing at the GAA box just up above you is there as well.
Right. This is where Enda Kenny did his dad dancing at Bruce Springsteen.
Absolutely, yeah. And who wouldn't?
And you've a brass plaque up there to mark the...
Enda danced here.
Yeah, I don't know about the plaque now as well, but that is the famous spot, yeah.
So this is where Leo's going to be sitting now for the next few games.
I haven't seen his dance moves, but I suppose that's my worry.
I think he does a good robot. Yeah. He's going to break that out in the All-Ireland final.
It'll become a thing, Taoiseachs have to go up and put their mark on it.